Okay, can you hear me? No, I don't think so. Okay.
Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
Will you enter the access code? Okay, and then press pound.
To enable audio controls, please enter your audio PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. If you do not have a PIN, just press pound or hash.
Push pound. Okay.
Wait, you mean the...
Amy, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh my God.
Okay.
All right, everyone good?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, cool.
I can hear you.
All right, so the deal I'm looking at right now, Amy, how do you say this name? Weezen, what?
Your guess is as good as mine. You mean the company's
yeah.
name?
Yeah, there you go.
The company is 5C Productions.
Oh, no. The one I was going to show, Weezen Yelch International Markets.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm basically going to show you guys just quick what we do for TLO. This is basically the home screen once you log in. The first thing we do is we go to advanced for people, put in the SSN. So that's one charge. The second
mm-hmm.
charge would be to run the comprehensive report.
Gotcha.
We leave everything checked off the way TLO suggests to.
Mm-hmm.
Now here you're going to find all the basic information. All these phone numbers, these are numbers that have been related to the merchant at some point or another. And they go down in terms of usage and in terms of how likely they are to be still associated with the person.
Okay.
Up here you'd have all your relevant information. So in this case, this merchant's three criminal filings. As you can see right here, this one right here, this is a big red flag. If there was nothing else wrong with the deal, this would still be an auto kill due to the financial nature and the dollar amount of the crime and when it happened. A good thing to look at is right here, this section. So if you have, this happens a lot with people with very common names, Smith, what's it called, or Hispanic merchants, you can see sometimes the names are, you'll have it be yellow, as you see like down here, for match
mm-hmm.
indicator, post match. You want to try to get as many greens as possible. If the first name is yellow, or the middle name is yellow, it's not a big deal. You want the last name and the date of birth and the address to be the ones that you get the green on. So that means odds are it's just catching a nickname or another name that the merchant goes by. If those three are green, then you're usually looking at the correct person.
Gotcha.
Here, any utilities that are associated with the merchant and any judgments. Same would be liens, litigation, anything like that. Now, these are the cars he's ever owned. This guy's got a 2011 Lexus RX registered in Maryland. You know, at one point in his life, he had a 2007 Chevy Avio. So, like, it's pretty, like, look at all the cars this guy has had. This is very, you know, it's very in-depth in what the information pulls. I've never been on anything that you can actually, like, pull the different make and models and tag numbers and everything. The years that the merchant had the actual cars. And down at the bottom, you'd have all your possible associates, relatives, things of that nature. Now, right here, we don't have any possible employers. That's usually a red flag. If someone's been in business a long time, they should have a possible employer, especially with their own business. That
mm-hmm.
means usually they're active with some type of state agency. They've filed their SOS on time. Their taxes have been filed on time, everything like that. So not showing up is usually not a good sign. So we'll go search. So Business Plus, his name, spell it right.
So what you're showing us is pretty much the sequence, or like your process, then you always start
right.
with the individual, then you go search by the business?
Correct. So the
okay.
odds of there being something in here, in the business side, that is an auto kill is a lot more slim than on the personal side, because merchants, there tend to be a lot of people with criminal background checks, unfortunately. Or a failed
mm-hmm.
criminal background check. So it's just, we find it a lot easier. Personally, when I train new underwriters, I train them to do the personal first.
And the business search is also charged, we're getting charged also, right? $2?
Yeah, twice. So it'd be once to do the actual search, so this would be one charge, and the second charge would be to actually drill in and run the business report. So it looks like there are two entities with that name. Matching the address is 901 Silver Spring. This one looks like a general one, the first one. I'm going to run both of them just to be on the safe side. Sometimes not everything's on one thing. So principals, it's showing our PG. That's good. Other phones at this address, other businesses, that's not really important, especially, you know, if you're in a strip mall or something like that. UCC filings is a big one. So we would check these against what's in the Experian credit business credit report. So the payment capital matches the merchant cash and capital one. This is us releasing his UCC.
Is there an example where a UCC would kill the deal? You know.
Yeah, you can. There, some funding companies do file UCCs against the business if there's a judgment against them or in collections. I actually had a deal for another ISO today where they had a UCC filed in June by Central Capital LLC. They are debt consolidator and debt collection for the financial industry.
So you find out about who is a debt consolidator by just searching them online, or do you have a list of people that you know are debt consolidators?
Yeah, I would just search. We've seen them come up a lot. So this guy has UCCs, this other business, I used to have multiple CSC UCCs. CSC is Corporation Service Company. They're the guys who mask, you know, UCCs for funding companies. We release as MCC, but most of the time we file as CSC. OnDeck does the same. CAN does the same. Most of the large funding companies don't put their actual name. That way, stackers can't easily come in and, you know, see the underwrite and come in and go on top of you. So this other merchant had recently filed for bankruptcy, so Central Capital being there makes sense. He also has UCC from multiple investment companies, Main Street business, three different UCCs are Main Street business loans. So when you see another company filing a UCC like every 6 months, a financial-based company, it's generally someone who's trying to get their money back. There's what if most funding companies do, if they're giving you a refi or something, they're just filing continuation, not filing a brand new UCC. It's more expensive for us, and it's more of a lengthier process. So it's easier just to file continuation on it. So if you just see three separate entries and filing numbers, that's usually a collection issue. So they're filing that UCC to make sure that people know that they are, you know, in line to get money, you know, if this is to go to court. So in this case, you know, we just scroll down, see what we have here. Back in the day, we used to not file a CSC. We filed as merchant cash capital. So there's that. And then I'd be checking all those, like I said, against what we have in business. In the business credit report, if this had been a merchant that had a lot of, you know, judgments and liens, let's see what this new one has actually. Creek. We got here. So 5C Production Services. Back to people. Okay, so this is a new deal you guys just sent in. I haven't looked at it yet.
Yeah, I'd really like to see some judgment and lien examples, if possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the same time, let's hope this guy doesn't have any.
Well, yeah, certainly, but. All right, let's see.
Although I think he's going to have some because he's got $2 million in them.
This one I actually searched before the meeting, and he's got a couple hundred thousand, so.
Oh, boy, this is a fun one. This is actually a great example of how to not run your life and your business. Okay, so Mr. Creek. Mr. Creek is full of very pleasant things, as you can see on the left-hand side here.
Possible criminal records. Not criminal records, but just possible?
Well, no, it says possible because it's not a government agency. You can call the police station, but no one can ever say definitively, yes, this person. But as you can see, the first name, middle, last name, date of birth, they all match. You have theft of services here, 20-500 misdemeanor. Date of birth, 10-462 matches what we have. Address does not match, except the town and the zip code. The town matches the actual highway address. Same highway address, different what's it called? Different, looks like a different suite number.
Go ahead.
You got possession here, and another theft. And address here, this address matched, and this address matched.
Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you always do the personal and the business, or if the personal looks good, do you not bother to go onto the business?
If personal fails, I won't do business. If the personal looks good, I'll always go to business.
Okay.
Does it tell the nature of the crimes, even if it's a misdemeanor, or do you just know it's a misdemeanor?
Depending on the state. North Carolina will not. North Carolina doesn't show. You have to actually appeal to the state. And same with California, for unless it's a felony.
In Texas?
In Texas, there's a few things. Texas is weird. You know, like, ladies, you can beat your wife there, and it's a misdemeanor. There's a lot of weird misdemeanors there, and they're not always listed, so you actually have to dig a little more for Texas. California, usually have to dig a little more depending on the crime. If it's financial-based or a felony, that will be in there. And then North Carolina is really not going to show you anything. Okay, so before I'm going to go to employers, I'm going to go down to his judgments, anything like that. This guy's got three judgments. We have a $240,000 judgment placed on him in July 2014 from Western Petroleum. So that's a vendor of his. You know, he didn't pay them for whatever the reason is. They filed a judgment against him, a very large one at that. Go down another one. We see another one here from 2015, Holt, Texas LTD for $185,000, and then another one for $424,000. So any one of these alone would have been an auto kill due to the size of them and how recent they are. But combined, obviously, that's just, you know, it's very, very poor. UCCs are going to go down. So he's got 17 UCC filings. Looks like a lot of his vendors have filed UCCs against him. That can be a way for them to collect. Equipment financing companies like John Deere.
What are the other ones?
I mean, you guys would know more on the equipment financing side than I would. They usually file UCCs. They all file UCCs. That's no issue there. This is, you know, a UCC filed by a standard bank. That's fine. Family trust. That's usually okay. All these UCCs would check out. These wouldn't be any issues. Okay, go up. All right. So I've looked at everything here that I want to look at. I'm going to the employer now. So, Creek. Let's check out Creek Transports, Creek Swabbing. So this guy's got a lot of. So we're pulling Creek Swabbing and Roustabout Service. Looks like there's 5C Production Services also. I know you guys don't have the business credit report in front of you. On the business credit, he's got $1.8 million in tax liens and judgments with three UCC filings from the IRS. He has just one federal tax lien of $1.3 million, I apologize. And the judgment from Holt is showing up there. So let's see what the business shows. first thing I would do, assuming that everything was fine, the first thing I would do is check the principals, make sure my guy is here. He's listed as, you know, the president, by, you know, someone with the full authority. In this case, this is maybe a different business. There are a lot of businesses that fall under this family. So that's something I'd have to look into if we were going ahead with this deal. Lien here, we have this lien for
Creek Swamming.
Yeah, from the IRS, and it doesn't show who it, they just have a lien placed against him. It doesn't have a dollar amount. That usually means they have a levy. They're either trying to settle, the merchant is not working with them, not in a payment plan for the tax liens. If they just have a general lien filed against him.
Well, where is that exactly on this lien that you're reading about?
I just know that from my background in accounting. Lien holder is the government. If they had a payment plan set up, I know by looking at the business credit report, the guy has $1.8 million in tax liens with three IRS UCCs, which means
that's
that
from
they,
Experian business credit report, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and that is on the So, like I said, there's multiple entities related to this family, multiple different businesses. So, the tax card we ordered, the 8821. When we get that report, if a merchant is not in a tax payment plan, that is when you'd actually see a full lien filed against them, because that means they're starting to either go after the business bank statements, the business bank accounts, or the merchant's bank accounts personally, and just take a levy directly from them via the bank, rather than actually work with the merchant, because the merchant's not willing or unable to work with the government. That would be this case, yeah. Because normally you'd see a lot of information here related to it, and that would be if he was actually working with the government in some capacity. Let's see. So I'm gonna go back to the personal. So I'm gonna check one of the other businesses.
So again, this is going to be another charge for running a different report.
Yeah. So I want to. For me in this case, I'm really okay with it.
Right.
If you guys know that something's going to be, you know, dead for, you know, whatever reason, obviously don't, like, unless you want, you know, sometimes a merchant will fight and whatever. Each time you click on a new comprehensive, each time you run a new search, that is its own charge.
Gotcha.
For these purposes, though, I want to make sure I explain as much, you know, as best as I possibly can. So I want to show you guys everything I can possibly find. So this business at the same address of businesses that we have. Let's see what this one comes up with. Nothing. So it looks like they don't do anything related to that business. What else do we have? Now what's interesting is the legal entity that they're saying that they are is not showing up on his report. So I'm going to go ahead and search that. 5C Production. And that is in 7695. Yeah, so it looks like 5C is related to Creek Swabbing. There's so little information, though, that they're not able to pull any, even the most basic report on it, which is also not usually a good thing. So, yeah, in this
does
case...
Does it have anything to do with, like, the time and business for 5C? Because I think they just were incorporated in 2015.
Yeah, it does. That's usually one of the bigger factors. If they haven't done much business in terms of like setting up trade lines or something, there's going to be no real information to report. So if all they've done is filed, that's why you see just the filing. Where is it? That's why you'd see just the filing. Otherwise, you know, if they had any trade set up, that's when you'd be able to see that information. Where did we go? Well, it's around here somewhere. I get lost in that. But either way, the first thing that I would suggest doing always is the personal. You know, if you see a financial-based crime or, you know, anything that you personally wouldn't want to give someone your money for, generally something that we're not going to give money, drug charges, especially selling or production. Any capital crime, anything like that. If you have any questions on any of that, you know, even if it's an idea that you're looking to fund here, I don't care. I'll be happy to help you. Just feel free to ask me, and I can run the social. And then like I said, if I see something in Experian, I want to try to match it versus TLO. If I see something in TLO, I want to try to match it versus Experian. And that's also why we pull the tax card. That's also why we get trade references. We get the trade references because, as you see on this thing, on this report, you know, he owes a bunch of vendors his. Obviously, we're not going forward with this deal, but if we were, and, you know, maybe there was like a little, you know, maybe there was only one judgment and everything else was completely clean, and let's say he had no tax liens and a good credit score. I do trade references. Maybe that's just a holdout. Something happened with that guy. And you know, there can be a story. There can be a situation where that works out, and we're able to move forward. We're just trying to verify everything possible that we possibly can, do as much due diligence as we can, so that upfront, so it's either so we don't have to kill a deal on the back end.
Mm-hmm. What's BizFi's capacity for judgments and liens? Like, what is the max amount that you guys would accept?
It really depends on the size of the actual deal and how the rest of the deal looks. So in this case, if a merchant is doing $20,000 a month, let's say, and he's got a tax lien for $200,000 or $300,000, you know, probably not, unless he's in like a very small payment plan, or like they have to be in payment plans for anything substantial. I would say below $30,000, we're not gonna care. You know, we'd probably look the other way on that one. Between 30 and 50, it really just depend on the size of the deal. And then anything over 50,000, especially recent, we'd want to see some tax lien paperwork. Anything six figures, they 100% have to be in a payment plan, and we factor that additional debt, their monthly payment, into what the advances, and making sure that they can afford that. So the first thing the IRS is going to do if they can't make the payments is take the money that we gave them. And then that's obviously the merchant is, you know, going to have major payment problems. In terms of judgments, you know, I've had guys have five judgments of like $1,000, you know, and he's doing $50,000, $75,000 a month. That's not a really big deal. We got to look at what their credit is. Are they paying people back in general, and the size of them comparative to how much they're doing a month. So in this case, this guy is only doing, you know, $100,000 a month, but he's got hundreds of thousands of dollars in judgments. Well, there's major contracts of his that he's defaulting on. So like I said, if you have a merchant doing 100 plus a month and you only have a few thousand dollars in judgments, even if they're recent, it would be more of just a merchant interview question. You know, what happened with this vendor? I see you owe them $1,500 or $5,000. Was there some issue with the check being cut? Was there an issue with, you know, materials being delivered? You know, what happened there that you had this judgment? You know, and vast majority of the time, it's not going to kill a deal. We, like I said, we try to give as many offices as possible. But if somebody has the tendency to not pay back their vendors, and to the point that a vendor needs to file a judgment against them and go to court, it's not something we're going to want to be giving them money to. We don't want to be that one guy who takes that risk. Anyone else have any questions?
I don't really have any questions on my end. Like, you did a good job just showing us, you know, your investigative skills and looking at this deal from a couple different angles.
Yeah, like I said, if you guys ever run into something on here and you have a question, even if it's not my deal, I'll be happy to help you out. You know, whatever you guys need. I know new program. I know when I started with it, and you know, it's a new program. It takes some getting used to, but you know, as you guys are looking to grow the business you do, and syndicate and everything, it can be a big help. And, you know, and looking at what you're doing with it, and also in terms of just selling the merchants in general. I've had ISOs ask me, you know, what certain criminal background checks are. If we limit a deal based on like certain criminal background checks, like let's say it's a trucker and he's got a lot of traffic tickets, we may limit it to 6 months. And he'll go, and the trucker's pushing for, you know, we cap at 8, and he's pushing for 10, and they're like, well, no, and the guy's giving him a hard time. The ISO will go back, the sales guy will go back and say, hey, we saw that you have like 20 traffic tickets. You know, that's kind of very risky for somebody to be giving you money, because if you lose your license, you're out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes salespeople use that as a tactic, depending what shows up there and how tough the merchant is being at taking the deal. You know, it is an expensive product, and sometimes they need that little extra, you know, ammunition to get somebody to sign on the dotted line, if you will.
Sure. Okay. So would you say that this occurs like first step in the underwriting process as soon as you see something come through?
Yeah, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check the credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on, I got a message here. Oh, it's Grant. My headset stopped working for some reason. I got the point. Thanks, Jeff. No problem, Grant. Okay, yeah, this the first thing I do, and the first thing most of our underwriters do, is check the credit score, and then from there we'll pull the criminal background check.
Okay.
And
like what you were saying, is a lot of the content on Experian can be verified in TLO, like it should.
A lot of
match
it, a lot
generally.
Of it can. Correct, correct. UCCs especially, tax liens are usually a really good one. Judgments especially, judgments more so than tax liens. TLO may show releases on tax liens more readily than Experian.
Okay.
Which is a very big deal, obviously, because if we're capping a deal because of a tax lien, but it's actually been released, you know, well then we didn't do our due diligence because we only went by the one background search.
All right. Cool. Does anyone else here have any questions?
No, thank you so much, Jeff.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think that we're pretty good on this, overview with TLO. It's pretty straightforward and easy to use, I think. We'll just have to keep running these reports and, you know, doing our due diligence. And if we have any questions, we'll let you know.
Perfect.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your time.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.